Welcome back to the Bugle's Bitcoin podcast, behind the podcast, where we engage and interview people in the Bitcoin podcast community. Here we haven't had these as regularly as we would like the past month or so, but we will hopefully be picking these up and keep doing these on a weekly basis. But we are back tonight. I think right now, biggest thing going on with the Bugle is Maxi Madness. I mean, we're at the Final Four. This is the biggest year yet, the most amount of votes ever cast in Maxi Madness. The record shattered this year. It's been amazing. The engagement has been amazing. And it's been the biggest, most dramatic yet. However, it has come to our attention, and we want to be sympathetic to the fact that Teddy Bitcoin's winning Maxi Madness has hurt some people's feelings, and a lot of people have reached out, and they have told us as much. They've expressed it very publicly, a lot of scathing rebukes of the Bugle from people who said that this has hurt their feelings. And that was never our intention. So I want to apologize if Teddy Bitcoin's winning Maxi Madness has hurt your feelings. And I'm very sincere about that. This is the first opportunity for me to say that to someone. Kaz, I know that you're a fan of Maxi Madness, and so if we have hurt your feelings allowing Teddy Bitcoins to get this far, I apologize for that. But yeah, we're talking to Kaz Baiko, and a lot of you guys may know him from, he worked at Swan Bitcoin. He's a Bitcoin miner from Oklahoma. And, now he is building an application for Bitcoin podcast listeners to revolutionize the user experience and possibly be a fountain killer, a fountain disruptor. It's called Bubble FM. But Kaz, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm good. Thanks, Rod. Thanks for having me on, guys.
How disappointed are you with Maxi Madness this year? Did we hurt your feelings by not rolling back the bracket and disqualifying Teddy Bitcoins this year?
No, I mean, this is Bitcoin maxis, right? So we're not Ethereum maxis. We're not going to roll back the chain. You guys are just doing your journalistic jobs of putting it out there and letting people vote on it. So in my eyes, you just included him and the people have spoken.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear the market, for whatever reason, it has chosen Teddy. It might be because the market is big fans of MicroStrategy stock, and Teddy is a big sim for Michael Saylor and for MicroStrategy, but it is interesting to watch. I mean, this is democracy in action, and we cannot reject the will of the people. That's for sure.
Go ahead.
What do you think, Kaz? Like, do you have any thoughts for yeah?
I mean, did you want to win Maxi Madness when this started?
I'm personally Team Yellow. Disappointing to see that Yellow lost. What was that? The Sweet 16. Did he lose to 3 Bitcoins?
Yeah, no, he lost in the Elite 8. It was tough. So Teddy Bitcoins, I think people knew that there was some drama cooking up in the meme region the first day or two of Maxi Madness, and it was pretty rowdy. The stack chain guys were obsessed. I mean, they forked off for Maxi Madness, and they created stack chain madness because they were so upset. But like, it didn't get really that far out, and then by the end of the weekend it had blown up, and Teddy Bitcoins threatened Dr. Adam Back, and nobody really thought that would happen, but it did, and it woke people up, and the plebs came out. Like, most polls got like maybe a couple thousand votes, but like, when people saw that Teddy Bitcoins was buying votes, like, Yellow got like 20 some thousand votes or something like that. But plebs like showed up in force, and it wasn't enough. And so now people are just, they're really, really upset about it. And they think that we should not let Teddy Bitcoins defeat Lynn Alden in the Final Four.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be a Maxi Madness tournament if there weren't maxis that were getting butthurt. So that's typical Bitcoin Twitter to see people getting outraged about some meme. So I'm personally a fan of the chaos. I'd like to see it continue. I wouldn't be surprised if he upsets Lynn. It's probably going to be an MSTR madness where we're going to have Michael Saylor versus Teddy Bitcoins.
Right. I guess I didn't understand the drama. It's like Teddy Bitcoins. He has Bitcoin in his name. He doesn't have, it's not Teddy Crypto. It's Teddy Bitcoins. And then, you know, yeah, he sometimes tweets about MSTR, but like a lot of people do. It's, you mean, you go on what Bitcoin did, Preston Pitch, like Safe Edeem. You could go on any of these podcasts to talk about MSTR. Rabbit will recap any of them. It's fine. Like, why is Teddy Bitcoins, you know, not allowed to do that? It's just, what do you think that there are some unfair standards in the Bitcoin space and in the culture that some people get to use Tether and shit like that, and other people they get, you know, chastised for it? Do you think there's double standards?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a double standard with pretty much everything in Bitcoin. This doesn't strike me as anything different. Yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot to say. I mean, the people get to vote. You guys are putting on a democracy, and you guys are just putting it out there as a media company, and you're letting people take their votes. So, hey, I kind of like the chaos.
Do you have any words of advice for those who have their feelings hurt, for people like the Swan C-suite who are very upset, their feelings are very hurt by Teddy Bitcoin's winning?
I'd say touch grass, get off the internet. Like, if you're getting your feelings hurt about a meme bracket. Yeah.
Yeah. I heard that, I heard a rumor that Swan's HR department, was advising the entire C-suite of Swan Bitcoin to, take a mental health day. I think there's a few people that did take mental health days, so maybe they were actually going and touching grass this week.
I can't tell if you're being serious or not.
We have breaking news as we are having this interview with Kaz Biko. Teddy Bitcoins is attempting to take Maxi Madness hostage. So this needs to be made aware. He says, proof of all my haters secretly love me or are broke. I will step down from the Bitcoin Bugle March Madness race if this address has 5 million sats within the next 12 hours. And he posts a Bitcoin address. So if people donate 5 million sats, he will voluntarily step out of the race.
This is breaking
and
right now?
This is breaking news. He just tweeted this. And I think that we should not give Teddy Bitcoins 5 million sats. We should spend 5 million sats to send Teddy Bitcoins home on our terms. But yeah, he's trying to take it hostage right now.
What if he gets 5 million sats and doesn't step down?
That's exactly what I'm saying, right? Like, what if he gets 5 million sats, doesn't step down, and still eats Lynn Alden and Michael Saylor? Then what?
What does the winner get?
A bid X. It's a big, it's high stakes. But that's not the winner of the tournament. No, excuse me. The winner of the bracket. Prediction.
The winner of the bracket, or the winner of the tournament, gets eternal glory.
All right. That's all. Yeah. So Teddy Bitcoins will have the eternal glory. He will have been, he will, you know, everybody's talks about Saylor. He's a hero. Teddy Bitcoins will slay his hero in Maxi Madness.
Do we have the address? I'm going to have to pull this up and look at it in Mempool.
Yeah, we're going to have to watch it live throughout the interview.
Yeah, pull it to Mempool.
I think buying votes will be significantly less expensive. Okay, here's the address.
It has zero sats right now. Keep an eye on it.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye throughout the interview. So, Kaz, one of the reasons why I like Fountain so much is because the UX is bad. I think this is really important, you know, for a Bitcoin podcasting app. You want the UX to be bad because you want it to feel authentic, right? You want the users of the product to feel like they're part of the revolution. You want them struggling with the UX, having technical difficulties frequently, struggling to set the payment splits, all the stuff like that. So are you concerned that you, with your new product Bubble, could create a product with good UX and kind of take away from the revolution?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, it wouldn't be a Bitcoin podcasting app without struggling through the UX hurdles that Bitcoin just natively experiences. So that's how we're trying to disrupt it. We see ourselves kind of like, a micro strategy version of Bitcoin. You know, the UX is just a little bit easier for the normies. You know, you don't have to, this is probably why Teddy Bitcoins isn't going to get any sats in this wallet, because most of these people probably don't even know how to send them Bitcoin. Like, they're probably trying to open like their share account or something, send a micro strategy to this Bitcoin address, and it's not going to work out. So we're kind of trying to make it a little bit easier on the UX side for the dumber Bitcoiners out there.
Yeah, that is a really good point. I mean, one of the things that you find out in situations like this is that a lot of Bitcoiners, if you have like an urgent situation, like you need to defeat Teddy Bitcoins in Maxi Madness, and so he doesn't embarrass Dr. Adam Back, but you don't have time to learn how to like actually set up your node and like send peer-to-peer transaction, like, because Coinbase won't fucking withdraw to that wallet address, and you got to do it yourself. And it's embarrassing. It's like Teddy Bitcoins knows how to use, you know, blockchain and transact adversarially better than I do.
Yeah, I don't know what to say to that, honestly.
But how can you, what's a good way to learn? Like, how do you get this, you marry this value for value opportunity with podcasting?
Yeah, so we don't have value for value in the Bubble app yet. It will be coming soon. I want to abstract the Bitcoin away, to be honest. I think trying to get people that are outside the Bitcoin space to understand Bitcoin by sending it through a podcast app is very niche. That's something that the Bitcoin cohort will probably understand. And the difficulties in the UX there are probably because most people they still think in dollars. And so even though that we have the ability to send sats and stream sats with value for value now, I think it would just be a simpler UX to actually make it appear like dollars, and give people tools to like top up their account, and to where the Bitcoin is happening more behind the scenes rather than like in the user experience, which a lot of these value for value apps, I mean, Fountain's a great app. I'm not going to trash Fountain. You guys can, but I think they led the way in utilizing some of these 2.0 features, but they're missing the mark a bit because it's an extremely niche community that's actually going to use that. And if you're trying to derive revenue that way, I just don't see it really playing out into the future. I think you need to utilize the tool, but give people a way in the UX to make it feel like they're just spending dollars and the rest is happening behind the scenes. And so that's what we're going for.
So what does that exactly mean? So that mean you're going to price things in USDT, or how does the individual feel like they're using dollars while using Bitcoin?
So it's just clever UX. So it won't be priced in USDT or anything like that. And they still will be utilizing value for value in the 2.0 features with sats. And so nothing like that will change. It's just more about how it's presented on the front end to the user. And like right now, okay, if you were to go to an app, you have to understand how to set up a Bitcoin wallet and then send a Bitcoin transaction into your Fountain app to start using these features. Whereas I think you could just have an account and say, okay, well, do you want to support a podcaster? Here is how you onboard. Here is $10 that you are purchasing and having and holding Bitcoin in that account. Doesn't require you to even know what an external wallet is. And the rate that you're sending Bitcoin just appears like it's a dollar amount. You'll still be able to see the full Bitcoin amount, and that will still be there. And if you're a power user and you're a Bitcoiner, like, you can just flip whatever it's denominated in. But we're going to go towards an experience that it's like whatever the users are most likely to use. And then Bitcoin is the tool that's happening in the back end.
Yeah. It's like people get excited and they're like, magic internet money. Hell yeah. And then they go online and they find out you got to have fucking seed phrases and you got to have external wallets and hardware wallets. You got on-chain transactions and lightning channels. And like, what the fuck? I thought I just could get on my phone and spend Bitcoin. It's supposed to be easy. But I want to deal with this really crazy bad user experience. And you're saying, like, there's no reason to give all this bullshit to people. Just fucking show them the magic internet money.
Exactly. Magic internet money is a great way to phrase like the abstraction that I'm talking about. And to where it's just presented to the user, like it's just magic. It feels like dollars to them and they're spending Bitcoin on the back end.
Yeah. Especially people in Bitcoin, especially conspiracy theorists, right? They want solving mysteries. So if you just give somebody an app that they can just magically spend money to anybody they want in the world, nobody can say no. It's whatever. It's just tell them it's magic. They'll be like, I call bullshit. And they will start digging to figure out what's going on behind the scenes instead of giving them a homework assignment on 40 hours of Bitcoin podcast that they need to listen to understand it. Just let them use it.
Exactly. I'm sure that's going to piss a lot of Maxis off too, because we wouldn't be leading with Bitcoin in the same way that some of these other apps are. That's fine. Fountain's taken on quite a bit of VC funding, and I'm not really sure like what features they've really pushed out in the last few years, to be honest. And so we've bootstrapped it and we're not taking on any funding. So we'll see who wins. It's just like the MSTR or the Maxi Madness. I almost called it MSTR Madness.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. We love Fountain and we love what they're doing for Bitcoin podcasters. And we've made a lot of cigarette money thanks to Fountain. We just think that there has to be a podcast app for people who haven't listened to 40 hours yet. And, you know, once they get to 40 hours per week, it's like, boom, Fountain is the perfect thing for them. But, yeah, you're like, this is like onboarding people to 40 hours per week. You can't leave with 40 hours per week.
Absolutely.
Well, I think this is kind of an interesting strategy. So, you know, one of the workarounds of, you know, not everybody wants to join the revolution, right? But it sounds like this application is going to covertly recruit people to the revolution without them even knowing about it.
Bingo. That's what we're going for. I don't think it's as much about like promoting how much of a Bitcoin company you are or leading with having Bitcoin in an app. I think it's more about how do you onboard users to using Bitcoin without them even knowing that they're using it. I think
right.
It's more of a psyop.
And the contrarians here, right? Like you got Pledator. Pledator says that like if you wear suits, he should be discriminated against. He says that if you don't use Bitcoin, he has like a bullet point list that he pinned to the top of his profile. You have to have like an old shitty laptop. You have to run Bitcoin Core on that. And you have to make your own entropy. It's this huge mess. It's like that's how people really use Bitcoin. But the truth is, you don't have to be, you know, a cypherpunk to use Bitcoin. People want better options.
You don't have to be a cypherpunk to engage in the value for value economy.
Exactly.
So,
and Bitcoin in this case does solve a technical issue, which is the micropayment side of actually streaming money. And so if we were going to try to actually do that with dollars, it still would not be possible. To me, it's just a UX challenge. And so if we figured out the back end and podcasting 2.0 and value for value and streaming sats exist, why not just make it easier for a user to understand how to do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the thing that's on everybody's mind right now, I'm sure a lot of people are listening to this and they think it sounds good. I know PodConf's listening to this episode and they're wondering, you know, one of the core tenets of PodConf is compliance is defiance. What is the compliance side of this app look like in regards to payments?
Could you elaborate?
Well, I mean, is it going to be friendly for like Monero maxis that never want to upload a government ID to something? Or is it going to be friendly towards...
Do you have to have a driver's license or an NPUB to log in.
So right now we don't have value for value in there. So you don't need a driver's license for anything. We don't have an in-pub to log in. Again, I love Noster. We're going to utilize Noster as well, but again, not in the traditional format that I think you're used to seeing with some of the podcast apps out there. And so we're not going to be bringing in like a Noster feed or anything like that. I think of Noster as like
smart move. There's too many good morning. Like it's really nice to go to Noster, have a cup of coffee, and read 7,000 good mornings and reply and zap to every single one. It's like, that's my morning ritual. But when I'm trying to pay, you know, through my podcast app, I don't want to read 1,000 good mornings.
Yeah. To me, that experience doesn't really make sense. I think the timeline of what's happening on Noster doesn't necessarily need to be in a podcasting app, especially in like a front end way. I think Noster is super cool, and there are some interesting use cases that I don't really see being explored as much, but they should be kind of hidden, and users should be like utilizing Noster kind of in the same way that I'm talking about Bitcoin. Like these protocols are tools, and presenting them to a user who doesn't understand them in the innate way that Bitcoiners do, that's what leads to some of these UX challenges. And it's like, well, why is it hard to do these things? Well, it's like the protocol itself is pretty difficult to understand and use. And so if there's a way to abstract that to the user and just, it's like, oh yeah, well, you're using Noster, you're using Bitcoin, but it just doesn't feel that way. To me, that's even cooler than just showing it to a user to show it.
So what does the back look like from a technical standpoint? Like, are you going to be using a service like Strike to convert dollars to Bitcoin, or what do the technicals look like?
We haven't landed on anything there yet about specific, like what specific payment processor we're going to use. We're not going to be a money transmitter or anything like that. So to your point about the Monero maxis, you will probably have to KYC for us to accomplish this UX that I'm talking about. You'll have to have some kind of account that you have dollars in. And so we're not going to hold that account for you. And to get around the UX hurdles that I'm talking about, you couldn't bring an MPUB. You couldn't just bring your Bitcoin into it. And so you're going to have, and to your point about PodConf, a custodial account inside your podcast app. And if that pisses people off, that's fine. Then just don't use it.
100%. I want to applaud that. It takes courage. There's, you know, wherever you are trying to build something like this, you have to look at those. It's like, you know, a dozen or two people on Twitter, like Seth for Privacy and, you know, Sovereign Matt and, you know, those guys. It's like, you have to tell a dozen people, my app's not for you, but there's millions of others out there who really it is for them, potentially. What goes into thinking about how you do build the user experience, like how you do make the app look and feel, because it seems like you're trying to help people just like use Bitcoin like as a vibe instead of as a cypherpunk.
You could say that. I mean, again, to your point about the dozen people, like, yeah, there's been a few people already reach out like, hey, how come I can't onboard and become a user without giving you an email address? And I'm like, there, it's like 99.5% of the world has to go through a user experience where they create an email and a password. It's like, that is what is most common. The cohort of Bitcoiners that get pissed off about that, and they're like, well, I just want to do it with nothing. It's like, okay, that's fine. We're not there yet. Maybe one day we will have a path for you to onboard where we can have both. But right now we've got to prioritize building a company, and building it just for a small cohort of Bitcoiners is not necessarily what I'm at.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, the other day, you might know, like somebody I know from Oklahoma, I won't dox him, was given some, you know, company shit about requiring KYC, and he's mad. He's like, he lives in one of the most like Easy Estates to own Bitcoin. Dennis Porter has gotten bills passed to protect people's right to use Bitcoin in Oklahoma. And he's like, I'm not going to use this app unless I could spin up and use it without, you know, if I was in the middle of Iran. It's like, buddy, you're never going to go to Iran. Like, just chill out.
The irony is we're actually prioritizing building to where our app performs like in those countries too. And so one of the big things is we prioritize building on the web. And you can go to our website and immediately install. It's called a progressive web app. And there's a few, you know, normies that reach out and they're like, well, why haven't you put it in the app store yet? It's like, because they take 30% of the revenue and we're building,
and you don't need
we're building a podcasting 2.0 app, which the main company outside of Spotify that tried to centralize the podcasting index was Apple. So now we want to build an app that goes in the app store where they control the rankings in the app store and we give them 30% of the revenue. To me, it's just like we're prioritizing building quickly. And the way we built it, we can deploy features, you know, in minutes to push fixes. Where in the app store, like we'd have to bundle that and wait for Apple to approve it and then give them a cut of the revenue.
Yeah. I mean, this is why Dennis Porter is so important. His work makes it possible to have an improved user experience because he protects your rights. And the other thing is you don't need to have like an iPhone app or a Android app or you know, one or the other. You can do all the stuff you need to do with a PWA, and the user, all of this is a new website for them to go to. They don't have to update an app constantly or deal with that, and it's easier for both sides. So why do you think they're not more popular?
I don't have a great answer. I'd say there's some technical sides of it that until very recently like Apple didn't support some of these PWA features. And so the PWA apps like didn't have push notifications for a long time, and they didn't have the ability to like look and feel like an app. And now, not just on the Apple side, but just the actual JavaScript and the React frameworks that exist, they're just much quicker. And so you'll see like some of the iOS apps are like, you know, 50 megabytes, whereas like a PWA can sometimes be like 5 kilobytes. And so you're talking about like a 99% difference in size. And so the page load is sometimes 8 to 10 seconds quicker in a PWA. And so that's the user experience we're going for. It's like, if you try to pull up your app and it's slow because of a network connection, you're going to blame the app. And it's because the user doesn't really understand what's going on and they just blame the app. Where it's like, it's actually loading because of all these other issues in your network, or you're on like, you're in a low bandwidth area like Iran, and maybe they're on like a 2G network. But there's millions of people, billions of people out there on these networks. And there's a ton of users that you could then be bringing on and educating them 40 hours a week. And so one of the big things that we're building is like we launched this search engine. And so for the people that don't have the time and they their Bitcoin podcasting is not their job, they're not putting in 40 hours a week, we have a way for them to understand narratives and quickly find what people are talking about based on the spoken word of what's happening in these podcasts. So to me, the podcast player, like we're not trying to necessarily monetize that in any way. We want people to come on and it's utilizing these new podcasting 2.0 features. It's quick and it works, but there's other things around the app that we are trying to monetize that actually help podcasters get discovered and put their content in front of a new audience. And then at the same time, help people cut through the noise and find what they want to listen to.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I do. I wanted to get your, I don't know if you're a gambling man, but would you wager that you get the ability to have lightning in your app before Swan does?
I'm not a gambling man, but I would probably bet yes that we.
Hell yeah.
And some of these things become challenges. And so I actually did a podcast yesterday with Max Gagliardi, and he gave me an idea on the show. I think it's going to be great for Bitcoin podcasters, to be quite honest. It will be a new tool for helping people discover, and it's going to be built off the back of the search that we built. And we're now racing to push that out before he releases the episode we did yesterday. So we're racing against the clock. I'd love to beat him and say, hey, you gave me this awesome idea on the episode. We built it quicker than you could publish the show.
Well, unfortunately, you're not going to be able to beat us, I don't think.
Well, I don't think so.
We publish our shows pretty quick.
That's how you do it. You should just hit fire.
Yeah. What is Max doing? Why is he going to take so long to edit and publish a show?
Because he's freaking, he's got to manage his Airbnbs, man.
Is this, like, he's a Bitcoin miner, right?
Yes.
That means he's kind of a Neanderthal of sorts.
Aren't we all?
Well, I don't know.
No, I used to listen to Max's energy podcast. He's a, he's more of an energy guy. He's like the bot. He's a energy guy first, a Bitcoin miner second, not like a Neanderthal, like screw Turner.
Mm-hmm. So just like a technical question, about the search engine. I mean, it sounds like a pretty cool feature. Is this, you said it picks up on keywords. So is it required for podcasters, you know, in order to really take advantage of this, to upload transcripts, or those automatically generated in some way based on?
So we're generating those. It helps if the podcaster uploads it, because then we don't have to like pull it and do it ourselves. But at the end of the day, like, we still have to run it through our system, and index, vectorize all that stuff, summarize it. And so it's a bit more than just the transcript. But it would help. And you guys are in there, by the way. I was doing some searches before the show.
Interesting. I'll have to play around with that. That sounds like an interesting feature.
Yeah, I'm going to need an app. My mom cannot use Fountain. She's going to need something, because my dad makes her buy like all these crazy phones that he gets off eBay. So she doesn't have, like, you know, she's going to have Android or Saint, you know, fucking Blueberry, whatever, or Blackberry, excuse me. So she needs an easy app that she doesn't have to convert sats. This would be how I get my mom listening 40 hours per week.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Well, it sounds cool. It sounds like it's an application that we have to, you know, explore a little bit. So is it, you said there's a kind of like a beta version, a web app that you can download on your phone?
Yep. If you visit bubble.fm, and at the top of the homepage, you click install, you can add it directly to your home screen. So we go around the app store. That's the benefit of the PWA. And then you're up and running. You don't ever have to update the app or anything like that. We push all the updates and they immediately show up. You know, we're pushing updates usually all day long, every day. So it improves pretty quickly. And we actually didn't start with a podcasting app. We started with the idea of building podcast digests. So this is another feature in the app to understand what is happening in a particular topic. So we have like 120 of these different digests, Bitcoin being one of them. And we pull together all of these shows based on the transcripts of what's happening and put together, here is a weekly digest of what all the Bitcoin podcasters are talking about. And so you guys, being a media company, could utilize something like the Bitcoin Digest to just say, hey, here's a rundown of what happened this week.
And my God, yeah, Timmy Tether would love to read the Bitcoin Digest. That guy is a sponge for Bitcoin podcast listening and experience. He's like, Boomer, I think he listens to as many podcasts as Bitcoin.
There you go. And if you don't have the 40 hours a week to put in, we basically build this off of the clips. And so the digests have, you know, 6 or 7 different narratives of what is happening. And it takes you directly to listen to that moment in the show, where you don't have to listen to all 40 hours of, you know, 15 to 20 different shows. You just find the highlights of what people are talking about and read at the same time. It's multimedia. You can listen, you can read, and you get a download of what's happening.
But if you're listening to this, I want you to go, and when you boost boost us at on, you know, from Nost or on Fountain, let us know if you would like to have like a weekly show where Timmy Tether just read all the Bubble Bitcoin podcast digest, and then with like, sounds like you can have segments where it stops and you listen to like the part that was really fucking thermodynamically sound, and then you cut back and you get to read the digest for the rest. That sounds like a great idea.
Exactly. I love the thermodynamically sound comment there. And the idea is that you can use it to build content as well. And so like, you guys being a media company, you guys could just say, hey, we're gonna have the Bitcoin Digest. We're about to launch it an additional feature on that where you'll be able to customize it. And so you guys could have your own Bugle Digest that's maybe not as sophisticated or formal as the generic Bitcoin one. And it has a bit more of like the meme context of what's happening. And it could be a live asset that you guys use on your shows.
I want to push back a little bit. Why would the Bugle's Bitcoin podcast not be as sophisticated as, for example, the Macro podcast? What are you saying?
Well, it was a compliment, actually. You guys put out memes. You guys are funny. And so the Bitcoin Digest is a bit more formal. I figured you guys might want something more catered to your audience that has a bit more context to the Maxi Madness.
So you're saying for...
Yeah, like we don't have like the Maxi Madness stuff in there, for example. Like that could be something that's like unique to your show that has a bit more of that context.
Yeah, if you like to listen to Bitcoin podcast in your cargo shorts instead of a suit, Bitcoin, the Bugle Weekly is the podcast for you.
I want to kind of shift gears. So you've done a lot of work with Dennis Porter in Oklahoma. Dennis has he's brought a lot of permission to do things we already have permission to do in the great state of Oklahoma. So what has been working with Dennis been like? What are the changes you've experienced with the legislation that you've been working on with him?
So we work on some of the bills that Dennis has put together. We don't converse with Dennis that often, to be quite honest. Nothing against Dennis. It's not like we're working day in and day out with Dennis. And so, like, for example, the Strategic Bitcoin Reserve is not something that we have permission to do in Oklahoma. And our Strategic Reserve bill is a little bit different than some of the other states, is that it gives permission to the treasurer to actually buy Bitcoin, which they do not have right now. So that's an example of something that we don't have right now that could benefit from legislation.
Yeah. I mean, we feel you too, man. Like, we also wish that we could work more closely on a daily basis with Dennis Porter. But unfortunately, he's very busy orange pilling all the states and the politicians.
Yeah, he works more at the national level, and we work like on the ground in Oklahoma.
So it was like a traveling preacher coming in, just doing his part and hitting the road.
You could say that.
Have you taken any selfies with Dennis?
I wish. That's still on my bucket list. I haven't been able to make that happen yet, but hopefully soon.
I saw that Simply Nico and BTC Sessions, they got a selfie with Dennis today at Mining Disrupt or something in Miami, but damn, like, super jealous. There was Samson too. Samson got a selfie with Dennis.
Wow, that's incredible. I didn't see that. Samson really got a selfie with Dennis?
Yeah, how often does Samson now get to, you know, take a selfie with somebody who has orange-pilled more politicians and more nation states than him? Very rarely. So it was probably just like a really like great opportunity. He probably is really proud.
Do you think nation states adopted Bitcoin because of that selfie?
That'd be like the, what's the Gervalo Princep moment that started World War I? That might be the selfie that is like the catalyst to hyper-Bitcoinization.
Mm-hmm.
It might be.
The shot heard around the world. Dennis Porter and Samson Mao. Incredible.
Paul Revere, Bitcoin.
while David Bailey's in Asia, I mean, that's pretty, like, something is in the works here. Buckle up.
We've got Dylan LeClaire. This has been a huge week. So we've got Teddy Bitcoin looking like the favorite to win Maxi Madness. We've got Dylan LeClaire meeting with Nintendo on their Bitcoin reserve policy.
Is he actually doing that?
Well, Rod, you broke that story, right?
Mitch, can you repeat the story?
Dylan LeClaire meeting with Nintendo.
Yeah. So right off the heels of the GameStop, GameStop is adopting a strategic Bitcoin reserve. Boom. Nintendo got on the line with David Bailey to get the introduction to Dylan. And they're going to get him over there to give a presentation to the interns about a strategic Bitcoin reserve at Nintendo.
Sorry, that was accidental.
This is how we get hyper-Bitcoinization.
Yeah, and then to top that off, we've got Dennis Porter and Samson Mallow taking selfies with each other.
Wasn't something really big supposed to happen like last week? There was like a picture of a mining something that happened, and there was a big square like table with all the chairs, and everybody was tweeting like, this is the room that it happened in. Be prepared. And then I've been sitting on the edge of my seat for the last week, but I haven't seen anything. What do you guys think that's about?
I don't know if I am aware of that viral post, but it sounds like, which day was this? Because I'm trying to see if it matches up with this weekend.
It may have been this past weekend. Yeah. It was like, this is going to be a big week or something. Michael Saylor tweeted something about it, and there was an empty conference room with a bunch of chairs.
Oh, that was GameStop. That was the GameStop decision.
Oh, that was GameStop. Okay.
Yeah, that's what the GameStop yesterday, because they said they're going to buy $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin using the Saylor strategy and fold Bitcoin strategy of buying Bitcoin on one.
It could have been in reference to Josh Mandel. You know, I think people are just bullish right now because according to his model, we're going to run the tables.
Well, you can't run the table unless you've already sold all your chairs. So I'm ready for it.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, to piggyback on that, Dieter Bob has been posting some very bullish line chart lines on Twitter. So if Dieter is bullish, that's usually a good sign.
Just like we need more Bitcoin podcasters, I think we need more Bitcoin models. So the more models out there, the higher Bitcoin price goes, regardless of what the model says.
Well, I think the most important model out there right now is the Bitcoin podcast power law, which you're kind of assisting in. I think as we create more Bitcoin podcasts, we're going to need more Bitcoin podcasting apps.
Exactly. And the more Bitcoin podcasts out there, the more we need to be able to search through them and actually find what they're saying. So that's what we're going for.
Finding signal. Exactly.
More Bitcoin podcasts equal more Bitcoin podcasting apps equals more signal equals higher price.
That math makes sense to me.
It's very simple. I mean, I don't know why, like, my model hasn't taken off more. It makes the most sense. I mean, it's just very, very logical. If everybody in the world starts a Bitcoin podcast, they're going to at least get a couple listeners to their podcast. It's going to paint the whole world orange. Not everybody in the world, but you have to think about it. Like, you know, there's listeners out here. They're sitting with their arms crossed, holding their nose or turning up their nose at the idea of more Bitcoin podcast. They got a nasally voice like Pledder. They're like, we have too many Bitcoin podcasts. The reality is those are the people we need to convince to start the podcast for the price to really take off. I'm trying to think. I think there's one last topic I want to discuss with you before we go into the Fountain Boost to wrap up the show. But, you know, Kaz, people have accused you of having some anti-Swanitism. You used to be an employee at Swan. I don't know. Do you consider yourself Do you think you have anti-Swannetism, or you think you're in the clear? What are your thoughts on that?
I think I'm in the clear. I think I call anybody out, and if it's justified, I think I'll call them out. It doesn't really matter if I'm friends with you or not. I think I look for the truth in things, and And that's what I talk about on my Twitter account. And so I actually tweeted last week. I was like, I'm going to get rid of this. And then I thought more on it. I was like, no, this is how we recruit more people to Bitcoin and get the price higher. I just need to talk more shit.
Yeah. I guess Richard is probably asking, because it seems like you retweet Booty and Hoddle Magoo quite a bit, when they're teasing Swan. So
me?
People thought maybe you might, people think you might have like some anti-Swanitism or something.
Hoddle Magoo sucks. I don't see his tweets because he's blocked. So there's no chance I've retweeted anything he said.
Hey, I think a lot of people can agree on one thing. The Hoddle Magoo sucks.
Well, a little bit of a check-in from earlier on the episode. It looks like Teddy Bitcoins currently has no Bitcoin in his address or his wallet.
Wow. I thought for sure people were going to pay, at least some people were going to pay the ransom, but they're not doing it.
Yeah, it's been a while since we did a Behind the Podcast. Our last episode was Yellow. This is all the way back at the end of February, it looks like. We're currently at the end of March, so it's been roughly a month.
We've been busy preparing for Maxi Madness.
It's been a busy month, to say the least. So Kaz, I don't know if you've ever listened to an episode of Behind the Podcast. I assume because our backlog's a little bit longer here, but we've got two questions that we ask everybody before we go into the Fountain Boost for the previous episode. First question is, did you listen to the episode with Yellow that we did?
I did not.
The second question we ask is, are you Jewish?
I am not.
Why? There's no specific reason we ask, except for if you had listened to the other one, you might understand the context of some of our Fountain Boosts. Because sometimes we get some pretty in the weeds spot podcast boosts, and you know if you can translate that.
Are you do you have any insecurities about not being Jewish?
No, I did not.
Are you proud to not be Jewish?
I'm proud to be who I am. I'm sure if I was Jewish, I'd proud to be Jewish. I'm not though, so I'm
fundamentals. Fundamentals. I don't know.
If you were Jewish, do you think you would work in Hollywood, or would you be more on the like writing side of things, or podcasting? Where do you think you'd be more involved if you were Jewish, or would you be in accounting?
Probably some money side of Bitcoin.
Okay. Me too. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into the Fountain Boost. So the last show, just for some context, Kaz, we did interview Yellow. So we discussed some memeing. We discussed his last year in Maxi Madness, what it was like for him to win, Greek mythology. We went all over the place in this episode. But yeah, this is something that we do on every show. Is this Shadrack, Rod?
Yeah, that's Shad.
Interesting. Well, Shadrack boosted the show for 10,000 sats and didn't leave a comment. I'm just struggling to understand the Fountain UX here. So does this mean he did a clip of the show? Or he just posted the show on Noster or something?
I think he just posted it with a zap. And maybe he zapped the... Because that's one time, sometimes they can zap a post from Fountain or like a post from somebody else's comment, and then it'll just go to your Noster wallet, but it doesn't distinguish if it's a booster or not.
Interesting. Oh, thanks, Shadrack. I guess we don't have to talk about. Are you familiar with who Shadrack is, Kaz?
I am not. I don't know who that is.
Okay. Shadrack's great. Shadrack's Corey Clipston just DM'd me. Shadrack's got a van that he painted orange. He's got a mobile podcasting studio.
That's pretty badass. What show does he do?
I don't think he has a show. I think he just has a podcast studio that he drives around with. But I don't think he actually podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah, he just lives in a podcast studio. He doesn't have a podcast.
He's building like the analog version of Bubble.
No. Well, I think Shadrach is just, he's one of those dudes who if he saw him, he'd be like, oh, like he smokes cigarettes. He listens to Bitcoin podcasts. He doesn't fucking KYC unless he absolutely has to. Fucking really smart. Living a life, a sovereign, and one of those dudes that just, he lives in a Bitcoin podcast studio, on a cot, like that's just, that's all he's got. It's like a street, like one of those, people living in like a van going surfing.
Well, I think Shadrach should start a Bitcoin podcast. I think that'd be a good
idea.
And if you live in a podcast studio, you might as well start a podcast for the price of Bitcoin.
Right. No excuse.
It is kind of a strange thing.
Well, he's rich.
Think about it, Shadrach. Think about it. Oh, yeah.
He's got more than one boost than Teddy Bitcoin's got in his wallet.
Doesn't surprise me whatsoever. We got the next one from Rakan. 4,000 sats. Bad UX is a revolution, no doubt. But bad podcast episodes take the revolution to another level. Great bad job. Don't know how to interpret that one, except for to say that, 4,000 sats, that's value for value.
There's some value there. Talking about our podcast. You must have been.
Must have been an accident.
This is kind of an encouraging message from Pink Monkey. The next message says, listening to the Bugle Weekly cured my autism. Or actually, I don't
nice.
Know. Is that cool or is that problematic?
Maybe it's I don't know, actually. I don't know if they're warning others or they are like trying to tell them.
It looks like he submitted as an anonymous first and then went back and said, no, I'm going to dox myself.
That's just a bad UX of Fountain combining with Noster, combining with your Fountain account.
Yeah, sometimes you go to boost and it double boosts for some reason.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's also, it is... Some of these comments, it's like, it's easy to, because of the bad UX, you just get like a negative comment. It's like, oh, they didn't even mean to comment on our show. We don't usually get those.
Yeah, I feel like every time we get a negative comment, it's generally a mistake. I don't know why we'd receive negative comments.
See, I always thought Bitcoin podcasts like caused more autism. So that's a pretty interesting comment.
Maybe if you're already autistic, it cures it. But if you're not autistic, turns you autistic.
I mean, that makes sense to me.
I would argue that we need more autism.
That's actually how we get hyper-Bitcoinization.
Yeah, hyper-autism. It's good that a lot of normies got the vaccine, the COVID vaccine, because that probably will help accelerate turning people autistic. Seems to really work in 2020. Like, the 2020 cycle is exciting.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of Bitcoin podcasts started in 2020, that's for sure.
Yeah, after people started getting vaccinated. The next one is from Odie. I know Odie is from one of the funny European countries, and he thinks the yellow top's funny. So, Yolo is, from Rome, Italy. So, yeah, funny accent.
I like that Odie's got the 40 HPW logo in his profile. I think that's pretty cool.
Can you guys explain this meme to me? This 40 HPW?
Yeah, 40 hours per week.
Oh, 40 hours per week. Duh. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, the time of Bitcoin podcasts that, like, you need to listen to. Like, if you listen to 40 hours Bitcoin podcasts per week, you're going to know what's happening. You're going to be able to afford to pay your taxes. You're going to be able to be on the forefront of, like, AI and all the technology. You're just going to be ahead of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And friends with Dennis Porter, to where you can get a selfie.
Yeah, for many people, it is achievable.
Could you put in a good word with Dennis for us? We've been trying to get him on the podcast. I don't know why he hasn't come on our show yet. He likes to do a lot of podcasts, but for some reason, he hasn't ever.
Does he not respond to you guys?
Not usually. I mean, I send him DMs periodically. I like to thank him for, you know, like if I have sex with my wife and it's like really good sex, I'll generally message him and thank him for helping keeping me hard through it.
I think there's a lot of people like that. I think you just get a lot of DMs like that, and it's hard to answer all of them. Pierre McCormick did answer all of them. So Dennis Porter, you could always have at least somebody to look up to that willing to work and build harder on Bitcoin.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he probably gets tired of hearing about people's like good sex. You know what I mean? But a lot of people are appreciative of it. Like if you're kind of like an older guy and you have trouble keeping it.
Yeah, Matt. There.
Like,
imagine you're Greg Foss. You've had a couple too many Canadian whiskeys. You get home, you listen to a Bitcoin podcast, and you want to bang your wife, and it's not there. Throw on some Dennis Porter, and it's going to be a good night.
Well, what I actually have my wife do is I have her whisper Dennis Porter in my ear, and that's what does it. You know, like some people like to like talk dirty during sex. I just like to talk Dennis.
Yeah, me and my wife have different political views, so it's nice to have a bipartisan influence in the bedroom.
You've got a lot of interesting relationships going on here, Rod.
Yeah, it's the bull market is a volatile time, and the price, and it's a volatile time in my romantic life.
Well, anyways, next boost, BTC on board, 200 sats, lightning, thumbs up. Appreciate it.
And the last one is from the one and only Pies 100 sats. He hit us with a comment, V for V, value for value, hashtag 40 hours per week. And I know I say it every week, but every time I open the Fountain app, I see that Pies has listened to another Bitcoin podcast and he has commented hashtag 40 hours per week. So probably our number one sales guy or marketing guy is Pies. And this is, you know, this is what we wanted to do with the Bugle. We wanted to take ex-cons, guys who've been in prison, done some drugs, fucking a little bit non-compliant, and we wanted to make them our billboards for how 40 hours per week sets you on the straight and narrow.
My question for you, Kaz, so are you familiar with who Pies is?
No, I'm not.
So Pies is like the most valuable Bitcoin podcast listener. He's the person, he listens, he covers the most
easily.
Time. Yeah.
If you have me, give me one Pies over, you know, like five of those guys that once every 2 years they ball or boost somebody on Fountain. Give me Pies who is just fucking bringing in, spreading the message, spreading the signal.
I mean,
he's consistent. He's like the Bitcoin blocks.
Yeah. I mean, you see him in the Fountain boost of like pretty much every podcast on Fountain. So I'd be curious to see what it would take for you to convince him to switch from Fountain to Bubble.
I don't think he'd even have to switch. I think Pies is like the most energetic, enthusiastic, fucking hardworking guy for Bitcoin, more than anybody that you'll see on Twitter. He is working harder for Bitcoin, I would say, more than Dennis Porter in a lot of ways, at least for Bitcoin podcasters. Number one.
We need more Pies.
We definitely need more Pies.
That needs to be in the number go up equation somewhere.
Yeah. I agree. And I think the only way that we get more Pies is we get more podcasts. The supply has to outpace the demand for the demand to increase, in my opinion. Basic Austrian economics right here.
Makes sense.
Well, yeah, we just got through the Fountain boost. Rod, do you got any closing thoughts or questions for Kaz?
Kaz, tomorrow, as of right now, it looks like it's going to be Michael Saylor versus Teddy Bitcoins in the Maxi Madness final. Who are you voting for?
Man, that's tough. I'm probably going to
Don't have to say. Who do you think the plebs are going to vote for?
I have a strong feeling Teddy Bitcoins wins for some reason.
Interesting. So I wonder if it just seems inevitable. I guess we'll find out.
We will.
What is going on with Twitter right now? Everybody's posting animated pictures. Have you noticed this trend?
Yeah, it's true. Everything's becoming anime. Life is turning into, the timeline is turning cartoonish, some might say. Teddy Bitcoins was one of the first caricatures that popped up.
Yeah, it's this Studio Ghibli style anime. Everybody's using ChatGPT and just taking memes and running it through this anime filter. I think it's pretty funny, to be honest. It's today's been one of the most fun days on Twitter in a while.
Oh, I think this is great.
Do you think Lynn Alden's hot as an anime character?
Probably.
I thought she was pretty hot as an anime character. She was like doing a bunch of anime of herself.
Yeah, I would say AI really does a good job of understanding that Lynn Alden is hot when it makes its pictures of her. If AI understands, I don't see how people can deny it.
I'm seeing Lynn's feed right now. I didn't see any of hers posted today.
Oh, that's a shame. I feel like a good thing to do is to set notifications for every time Lynn posts. This is insane. Literally every... So
it's like the biggest meme trend I've seen in a while.
Yeah, I think the last one that was as big as this was the JD Vance one.
Yeah, I saw some people running JD Vance through the meme, the Studio Ghibli meme too.
Yeah. This is gonna go, man. You know what sucks? If this were came out 2 weeks ago, man, Maxi Madness would have been so much funnier, with so many more anime characters. Probably would have been.
You guys should do some of it for the finals.
We are, but it's like it would have been nice to have her for the whole time, and it made my life easier.
Well, anyways, yeah, I want to thank you for coming on the show, Kaz. Definitely interested in looking into your podcasting doodad.
Thank you guys for having me. It's been fun.